The Compelled Crossbearer and the Weeping Women, Chapter 85. A great multitude of people are passing through the streets of Jerusalem. On the forefront are a few Roman soldiers who are guarding three men. These three men are carrying heavy wooden crosses upon their backs. Oh, why is each one of these men carrying a cross, and where are they going? These three men are three malefactors who will be crucified. Yea, so it seems to everyone who sees them walking, he views them as malefactors. Outwardly, there is no difference to be seen in these three men. But there is a difference. One man of the three is no malefactor. He is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. He, too, is being brought to Golgotha with the cross upon his shoulders to die the accursed death on the cross. The two other men are malefactors. They are two murderers who have been condemned to death. Now that Jesus must be crucified, they decide to kill two murderers at the same time. The king of Israel is reckoned the same as these malefactors. This is a deep humiliation for the Savior. He, the Holy One, the Pure One, is led away in the company of two base criminals. Many years previous, Isaiah prophesied he would be numbered with the transgressors. This prophecy is being fulfilled here. After Pilate delivered Jesus to be crucified, the Roman soldiers removed the mock robe from him. They put on his usual clothing and now are on the way to Golgotha. A numerous multitude goes along. The distinguished Pharisees and Sadducees are also in this procession. They have been victorious. The procession walks through the streets and soon reach the outskirts of the city. They go down the hill upon which Jerusalem is built. But, oh, just look, Jesus staggers. The heavy cross is too heavy for him. This is not surprising. The Lord had passed through a dreadful night. He first suffered unspeakable soul's agony in Gethsemane, then the standing before and the mistreatment of the Sanhedrin, later the terrible scourging before Pilate, and now he must carry the rough cross upon his raw, beaten back. Every step, every motion causes him unbearable pain. You must not forget, the Lord Jesus was truly man. His human body almost collapsed beneath the heavy load. He staggers. The Roman soldiers see it. In this way, Jesus never will reach the top of Golgotha. This must be prevented. But what must they do to overcome it? For them to carry the cross is too humiliating. They have no desire to do so. Neither dare they force some Jews to carry it, for then there would be a possibility of a rebellion. But there stands a stranger at the side of the road. We know from the Bible that the name of this stranger was Simon. He was a native of Cyrene. This country lies in the north of Africa, still further away than Egypt. He came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. We read in God's Word that he came out of the country. Probably some of you are thinking he came from the farm with working clothes on and a shovel or other tool upon his shoulders. But that is not so. No one worked during these feast days. They were not permitted to work. Didn't God declare, "Ye shall do no servile work therein"? Didn't God say he would destroy the transgressors from among his people? No. If you think Simon had been working for a while on the farm and now is returning homeward, you are mistaken. Another thing, Simon came from Cyrene. Would anyone who lived as far away as Africa have a farm in Jerusalem? That cannot be, can it? No, by the country is meant the place where strangers lodged. So many people were in Jerusalem during these great feasts that many of them could not lodge in the city. Therefore, for those who could not find a place within the city, a large open field was prepared on the outskirts of the city to pitch their tents. During those days, there were many tents, and thousands of feast celebrants slept in the fields. Now you understand what is meant by coming out of the country, don't you? Simon also had a place in this field where he had pitched his tent. It is highly probable Simon was coming out of the country to go to the temple. The morning sacrifice was to be brought there, and Simon of Cyrene wanted to be present at this ceremony. As he approaches Jerusalem, he meets the procession which is on the way to Golgotha. Perhaps he went aside a little and watched this scene in bewilderment, not knowing what it all signified. And when the Lord Jesus reaches the point of collapse and falling, they have arrived where Simon is. The Roman soldiers see this stranger and command him to carry a portion of the cross. However, he firmly refuses. We easily can understand this, for if he took up the cross, he would be unclean. He would not be able to come into the house of the Lord. Neither could he join in celebrating the Passover. This would make his journey from the faraway Cyrene completely futile. He could just as well have remained at home. But his refusal does not help. These rough, cruel soldiers compel him to do it. Read in Mark 15. They had to compel him. This is a sign he did not do it willingly. On the contrary, at first he refused. He is taken, and against his will and wishes, a portion of the cross of Jesus is laid upon his shoulders. Now they carry it together. Oh, what were the thoughts of Simon's heart? We do not know. Was he angry because he is now unclean? Did he become grieved because now he could not join in celebrating the Passover? We do not know. However, one thing is certain. The carrying of this cursed cross was sanctified to his heart. Exactly what took place, we do not know. Perhaps Jesus, when they finally came to Golgotha, looked at him. At this time, Simon could not join in celebrating the Passover, but most likely he now celebrated the Passover in truth. By faith he saw the Lamb of God, who also was sacrificed for him. It is most certain that later he was glad he could carry the cross. Perhaps he looked back with sorrow and grief at his resistance and refusal. Because Simon helped carry a part of the heavy cross, Jesus did not collapse on the way, but safely reached Golgotha. As I already have told you, a great multitude followed the Roman soldiers for the purpose of being present at the crucifixion of this Nazarene. Also among these people are some women from Jerusalem. When these Jewish women see the Lord Jesus walking, when they see his blood-stained pale face, and when they notice Jesus stagger, they begin to weep loudly. They lament over him with eyes full of tears. They begin to have pity on him. Suddenly, Jesus stands still and looks seriously at these weeping women. Daughters of Jerusalem, so he addresses them, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. These women were making a martyr of the Lord Jesus, and just a martyr he is not. He is no martyr, but a hero. When going to Jerusalem, Jesus walked before his disciples as a hero, while they followed with fearful and heavy hearts. He knew what was going to happen, still he walked foremost. As a hero, he sang the song of praise in the Passover hall, although he knew he soon would have to suffer inexpressibly. As a hero, he walked forward to the band in Gethsemane with the question, "Whom seek ye?" although he knew they would take him a prisoner. As a hero, he refused to buy his freedom before Herod by performing a few miracles. You must remember this well. Jesus is a hero, and by no means a martyr. Therefore, he refuses to be lamented for by these Jewish women, and so reprimands these weeping daughters of Jerusalem. It is as if he says, "O daughters of Jerusalem, you need not have pity on me, for I voluntarily took this heavy suffering upon myself to redeem my people from eternal damnation. I came into the world for that very purpose. That is my goal. But you must weep for yourselves. If you remain unconverted, you will, when death comes, bear the wrath of God yourself. Besides, terrible days will come for you when the Romans will besiege Jerusalem. Mothers will slay their own children and eat them. Weep for yourselves and for your children. If they do this to me, what will they do to you and your children? If the punishment of sin which I am carrying for my people is so heavy, how heavy will your punishment be if you reject me as your king? Do you see, boys and girls, the Lord reprimands them for their compassion? It would have been better if they had wept because of their sins, and they should have wept from sorrow because of their wickedness against God. Alas, today so often the Lord Jesus is looked upon as a martyr. The children will sit in the class with tears in their eyes. They think, "Alas, the poor Lord Jesus. Oh, they pity him." Has it ever been so with you? It is wrong. Yes, worse, it is wicked if the Lord Jesus is represented as a martyr. No, but you must weep for yourself. Weep because of your sins, for sin has caused Jesus all this suffering. Dry your tears of pity, and weep tears of upright sorrow because of your evil heart. The people of the Lord are grieved because their sins have made it necessary for their Savior to suffer so grievously. The word of the Lord Jesus to these women also applies to you, children. The Lord Jesus also says to you, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourself. If you die outside of the only Savior, at death, the full wrath of God will rest upon you. May the Lord give you upright sorrow because of your sin and apostasy from God."